Well, as I said, we are continuing with a series on spiritual warfare. We have talked now in some detail about what that means. What is spiritual warfare? Where did it start? Why is it that we're at war? Because that's the way we need to look at this. You can't look at this as just, well, you know, sometimes it's a little bit tough. Sometimes I struggle from time to time. And yeah, I've got weaknesses in my life, but don't we all? Don't we all struggle with things? And I can kind of dismiss it in that way. But in reality, as a Christian, we are in a war. This is what the Bible says, that we are fighting against the principalities of darkness. Where did it all start? Well, it started with Satan's rebellion against God. And then we see the manifestation of that in the world. That's where death comes from. That's where evil comes from. That's where sin comes from. Was Satan's rebellion against God. But, and I love the but part, you know where I'm gonna say, but God is sovereign over all things, meaning he is in total and absolute control and authority. And in that sovereignty, he has already determined that this rebellion of Satan will ultimately fail. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Ultimately fail. Now, ultimately means in the future. So we've got some time between now and then where we've got to live and we've got to fight. We are in a battle. And as a Christian, you don't get the option of whether you want to be in it or not. There's no such thing as a conscientious objector in God's kingdom. Wow, I like that. Karen, did you write that down? Write that down. Would you? I really like what I just said. You got it? Okay. There's no such thing as conscientious objector in the kingdom of God. Folks, you're in the battle. You're in the war. Because as a Christian, among other things, you get a target that gets placed on you, and the enemy wants to do everything that he can to discourage you, to affect your faith, to bring misery into your life. That's what his goal is, and ultimately to try to take you away and for you to doubt the fact that Jesus loves you and that you're saved. That's what he wants to do. And so what we have been doing over these couple of weeks here recently has been saying, how is it that we have the authority to be victorious? Because that's what the Bible says. As a child of God, you have the God-given right to be victorious in your life every day. You go, Pastor Dave, come on, man. You can't talk in absolutes, can you? Sure I can. Because I serve a God that is sovereign over all of his creation. And as his child, he has given me, as a co-heir with Jesus, all that I need in order to be victorious in his name. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, where does that come from? Well, it comes from the mouth of Jesus. It comes from his words. So if you've got your Bibles, we're not going to read from it yet, but I'm going to give you a good head start. Turn to Luke, the 10th chapter, Matthew, Mark, Luke, 10th, third verse, third, I'm going to start all over, third book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, go to the 10th chapter. So again, as a child of God, you have a God-given right to have victory in your life. What does that mean? It means that you do not need to just eke by hoping that today is going to be a little bit better than yesterday. That's what eking by means. I'm going to do the best I can. Again, and I certainly have compassion. I think I'm a pretty honey, am I a compassionate person? I'm a compassionate person. What is she going to say right here in front of everybody? No, she would be honest, absolutely. I think I'm a compassionate person, but I get tired of Christians that walk around looking like they've just been beaten by a 2x4. Church, that's not how we're called to live. You go, Pastor Dave, I've had some hard times in my life. Yes, that is what life is about, because Satan is still active in the world. And again, he's doing everything he can to bring discouragement to us. But when you get hit, you do not need to get defeated. When you get knocked down, you don't need to stay there. You can get back up. When you become discouraged, when depression is trying to work its way into your mind and your heart, you have what you need to be victorious over that. And see, before we begin to talk about the specifics of that, you've got to have that concept burned in to your heart, to know that you, yes, you. You say, Pastor Dave, I can't quote more than about 2 scripture verses. My favorite one's Jesus wept. There's only 2 words, and I got that. I can do Jesus wept. I know John 3:16, sort of. It doesn't matter. Because the Bible does not say there are caveats to it. The only requirement is that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because the moment you did that, it brought your spirit back into union with God. Is this all ringing a bell? Now, some of you that have not been here to hear all of this, it's okay. But when you became a Christian, your spirit was reunited with God because it was divided when sin entered into the world back at the Garden of Eden, Satan's best day. That was his red letter day on his calendar. Ever since then, it's been a hassle. But he's lost the war. You see, I peeked at the end. I know the end of the book. We win. We've won. Now, how are you going to live, though, until that time? And that's what we're looking at and what we're talking about. Spiritual victories, my friends, bring the most satisfying joy in your life. Spiritual victories. Why? Because those are things that are eternal. Those are things that God has given to you to be able to walk through the trials and the struggles every single day. And how about it? And most, I think all of you in here know this. When you've had a spiritual victory, when you've had something that has tried to pull you, something that you've fallen into, that you've given into, that's gotten a hold of you in the past, and now it doesn't, how's that feel? It feels pretty good. You go, man, thank you, God. Thank you for that I didn't do that again, that I didn't fall. That's a spiritual victory, and that is the type of thing that begins to build up joy in your life, knowing that you can be victorious, that you can be the winner in that situation. Again, not because of you, but because of his presence in you. And so last week, we looked at Luke. Let's read that since you're there. I've done that to you a couple times, haven't you? I know in the past I've done this. I've told you to turn somewhere and we never read it, did we? Roxanne's going, yeah, I know. I was there. I'm going to read it now. All right, this is starting verse 17. And again, what happens here is that Jesus is sending out 70. Now, this particular translation I have says 72, but in the original it says 70, which actually makes more sense. We'll talk about that. If you want to know why, you can come see me later. But Jesus is sending out this group in order, he said, to heal the sick. And he's sending them into the towns, kind of like advance teams. How many of you were familiar with the Billy Graham Association and the different crusades that they did? Now, it's been a while since he's done any. But Billy Graham, the Evangelistic Association, they were like a machine with this thing. I mean, it was amazing. They would send out teams to organize months and months and months in advance before Graham ever came and put the whole thing into place. They had prayer teams. They had people advertising it. They had people going to different churches and all of that. Jesus had that first. Jesus had that idea first. That wasn't up to Graham. That was Jesus. Jesus sent out his advance team because he was going to be going to these different towns to minister. And he sent these men out and said, I want you to go out and I want you to heal the sick. And I want you to tell them what it is that God's done for them. Now, you remember what happened. They came back and they said, Jesus, you got to listen. Listen, Jesus, here's what happened. Verse 18. I'm sorry, let me start at 17. It says, the 72 returned with joy and they said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Now, look at this. Jesus sent them out in order to do what? What did he send them out to do? Sent them out to heal the sick. They came back and said, Jesus, it was even better than that. They said, even the demons submitted to us in your name. And then it goes on. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, in other words, whoa, watch. Do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Even the demons submit to us in your name. My friends, those are three of the most important words in that entire passage. Everything of your life, when it comes to spiritual warfare, must be done in his name, not yours. And see, the minute we begin to think that we've got this, the minute I begin to think, okay, that thing that I've struggled with all those years, I got that now, man, that's in my back pocket. No more problems. Guess what? You're going down. You're going down. Because it's only in his name that we have been given the ability that we have been given to be victorious in our life. It's in his name. It's spending time with him It's bringing these things to Him in prayer regularly. How many times when you've dealt with something and it seems like it's over, you quit praying about it? All of us do that, don't we? All of us. You say, I don't pray for that anymore because, well, it kind of got resolved, I think. I'm not dealing with it anymore. Can I tell you that there's a lot of wisdom in continuing to pray over areas of your life that you know you have a weakness? There's wisdom in that. To pray, God, continue. Keep my resolve strong. Keep my defenses strong against this. We all have those things. Now, I'm not talking about something necessarily horrific and gross, but maybe you've got an anger issue in your life. Maybe you've got a jealousy thing going on. Maybe you've got a material thing about you that you just always want more. Maybe you've got a selfishness issue where it's hard for you to give to other people and to other things. See, those are weaknesses. And those are the kinds of things that I believe that we need to stay in constant prayer about, because then we're doing warfare in His name. That's what that means. I'm doing warfare in His name. So in verse 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. We talked about this last week. And again, Jesus didn't say that was what was happening because of the 70. He said, this is what happened. I saw Satan fall like lightning. And in that He said, Satan is under the authority of God in all things. And see, that's a fundamental stone for us to stand on in spiritual warfare. Satan is under the authority of God. What is that power of God through the name of Jesus? What will that overcome? What does it overcome? The power in the name of Jesus, what does that mean? Well, it means that Satan is going to try as best he can to steal and rob from you all of the blessings of God. Now, if those of you are going, wait a minute, didn't he just ask a different question over there? Yes, I changed lanes real quickly for those of you that caught that. Mike, I knew you would. But what is it that God, what is it that He gives us in this? Well, Paul writes this because Satan wants to try to steal what it is that God gives us. And here's what Paul says. This is Romans 8, 35 to 39. I think many of you know these verses. It says, who, and some say what, shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered? No. In all these things, we are, say the words, more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. My friends, if you want a scripture verse to read every single day, read that passage. Read that passage to be encouraged. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Put it up on your refrigerator. Put it on your bathroom mirror. And just let those words be poured into your spirit. Nothing can separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. And see, my friends, I think sometimes all we really just need is those words of encouragement. Life is not easy. Big shock. You might want to write that down. Life is not easy. We have had a very difficult past 18 to 20 months. It's been especially hard, I think, on Christians and on churches, because churches have been targeted during that time. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about it. There are a lot of things you could still do in groups of people, but churches weren't allowed to meet. That's a plan, my friends. It's a plan of the enemy. And you say, wait, Pastor Dave, man, are you telling us we should be, well, yeah, I think we need to be aware of what it is that's going on around us. But you know, again, God is greater. God is greater than all of these things. And then in verse 20, Jesus says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And here again is so very important. Jesus is warning the people, the minute you begin to think that it's you and not the Father, you're in trouble. And we said, every great ministry that's ever been, all the national, international ministries, every great move of God has been stopped because of pride. Every one of them. All of them. I've had personal experience with that. Maybe some of you have as well. And that's why I said to you last week that you have been commissioned to make sure that Dave and I never ever say anything that suggests that we're thinking it's us, because it isn't. And it's not you. It's the power of Jesus Christ in you and in your life. Well, what I want to do this morning, just for the next 10 or 15 minutes, and then we're done, I want to look at verse 19 a little bit more closely. Because to me, in this entire passage, this is the most important verse. Because it's out of this verse that your authority has been handed to you by Jesus. The verse says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. All right, look at those first couple of words. I have given. Notice the tense in which that's been written. It's what? It's in the past. It's already been done. This has already been done for you. And see, there are too many places, I think, and there are too many ministries, I believe, that tell you that you are the ones that have to somehow generate this. It's out of your works. It's out of what your knowledge is. It's out of your understanding. It's out of your measure of faith. Now, faith is vital. Faith is critical to our lives as Christians, but it's not up to you. Jesus said, I have given. It's yours. And see, again, I keep coming back to this over and over and over because I believe that for so long we have been convinced that if you just get by, you're doing well. No, be victorious. You are, what did Paul say? More than conquerors because of him. And so Jesus says, I have given. It's been done. See, the original definition of this word give, which I really love, and this is why I always encourage people, if you ever want to get any kind of a reference book, get some type of a concordance that allows you to look up the Hebrew and the Greek. You can get them in one book, and you look at a word in the scripture, and you go, okay, what does that? If it's in the Old Testament, it's going to be in Hebrew. If it's in the New Testament, it's going to be in Greek. So you look that up, and you say, what is the full definition of that word? Well, the full definition of the word give has to do with supplies. So you've been supplied, you've been granted, you've been furnished, and I love this next one, you've been commissioned by God. Do you know that? You are commissioned by God through the words spoken by Jesus Christ to live your life in victory. You know, when an officer is commissioned in the armed forces, he assumes a position of responsibility that others must recognize. They must recognize that commissioning, whatever the rank is. Well, you know, in the spiritual war, it's the exact same thing. The enemy must recognize the authority that you have in your life. See, again, I think many, we put Satan in a place that he does not belong. We put him in a place he doesn't belong. He's a created being, just like you, just like me, just like the angels. He's created. The only way that he will not recognize it is if you allow him not to. That's the only way. Is if you don't walk in the fullness of what it is that God's called you to be. That's the only way that he won't recognize it, is if you keep it. Jesus says that he has given. So what was it that allowed that to happen? What was it that was the giving? Well, the first one was is that Satan was cast out of heaven. The second one was is that at that time, as it is now, he's under the authority of God. Two things, cast out under the authority, and then watch a third one. It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because it was at that event that the keys, as the Bible says, the keys of hell, the keys of death, the keys that Satan held for that brief time were taken back. And that restored our relationship with God the Father. Luke 9:1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. John 13:3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria into the ends of the earth. See, my friends, the power that Jesus is talking about there is the same power that you have as well. Why? Because we are co-heirs with him. Now, the next part of that verse then, and then I'm probably going to shut this down and I'll finish it next week. He says, I have given you, and what's the next word? I have given you authority. Now, that word authority is a little bit different than I think maybe what you might think that it means. See, authority is power. And when I looked that word up, I had expected to see the word dunamis. And we've talked about that word before. Dunamis is the root for dynamite, for dynamo. It's explosive power. But that's not what the root word of authority is. The root word of authority is the word exousia. And that means to have a power of, watch this, a power of choice. That's what that word means. That's what that word authority means. It's a power of choice for us to be able to choose what it is that we embrace, what it is that we will do in our lives. Jesus is telling the 70, just like he's telling us today, that you have the power to choose to trample on the snakes and the scorpions. You say, Pastor Dave, man, can't I just have something that'll automatically do that? Why is it up to me whether I choose or not choose? Because the whole foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ is based on choice. Your choice. You can choose to accept him. You can choose to reject him. And it carries into our lives as Christians. We have the authority, which means God has given us the power to be able to choose to exercise what it is he's given us or not to. Now, I can ask this next rhetorical question, but I think you know what I'm going to say. Which do you want? Which do you want? You see, as a Christian, I want the fullness of everything that God has for me. I want to experience everything that God has for me. Can I tell you, it took me a lot longer to get to this place in this church with you than perhaps it should have, because I wasn't exercising the authority that God had given me. I know there are people would say, no, man, you're here because this is exactly the time you're supposed to. Yeah, I get all that. But I delayed things for a while. A long time, actually. And see, I don't want that in my life. I want to be exactly where I'm supposed to be at all times. Well, in order to do that, I need to make those choices that say, Father, I'm taking everything you've got. I'm going to live my life in the power and the authority of what it is you've called me to be in your name. Is this making sense? Or am I just like machine gunning you right now? I can't help it. I mean, I'm trying to calm down with this, but I can't. Because my friends, the hour is coming. Our time is short. You say, what do you mean? Jesus is coming back like today? I don't know. Maybe. Jesus could come back at any time. I mean, I'm not so sure how much worse it can get before Jesus comes back. You know, I mean, we're so violently shaking our fists in his face. We're promoting evil and perversion to every degree. We are taking the things of God and we're running them down, and the culture is saying, if you believe this, you're a hater, you're a xenophobe, or whatever phobe it is they're calling you now, when you believe the truth of God's word. What more can happen? I don't want to answer that. But what I do know is this, is that in these hours, we are called to be a light in this dark place, church. We're not called to fall into it. We're not called to promote these things. We're not called to compromise. We are called to stand in the firmness of God's word, and by that, for others to see who Jesus is in us. There have been a lot of people that I've seen that were Christians, and I thought, man, if I wasn't a Christian, I looked at them, I'd go, no thanks. I don't want to be a Christian if that's how I'm going to look all the time. If I'm going to be that depressed, if I'm going to be that upset, if I'm going to be that miserable. Church, I'm not talking about putting on some false face. I'm not talking about faking it or coming in on Sundays and acting one way and going out and acting a different way the rest of the week. No, I'm talking about a genuineness in my heart that when the difficult times come, they come, as the Bible says, it says it came to pass. These things don't last forever. These are things that we deal with and that we struggle with, and maybe they're around for a while, and maybe God's called us to walk through some difficult times, but that does not impact my joy. It doesn't impact the way that I treat the people in my life who I love. I say I love them. Because let's face it, if you're struggling with something, where does that usually come out? Yeah, at home. The very people that we need to be the most loving, the kindest, and the gentlest with, they're the ones we take it out on. See, I don't want to live that way. And I don't have to, and neither do you. Now, next week, we're going to come back in, and we're going to finish up a little bit more with this verse. But then, when we're done with that, I want to talk about now the more specifics. How is it that you fight every day? What are the tools that God's given us to do that? What are the weapons that we have? We're going to talk about that. Because I don't want to tell you that you're in a war and then go, good luck. Hope it goes good for you. Try not to get blown up. God's given us tools. This is a tool chest. It's an armory. There are weapons in here that God has given to us. And I want us to look at that. I want us to understand what that means. We'll do that next time we come back together. Let's pray. Well, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us. And I thank you, God, for the truth of your word. I thank you, Father, that we can talk about these things in a way that my heart and my prayer is that it's bringing us joy. It's bringing us a settledness that we will not be worried. We will not allow the spirit of anxiousness to come on us. We will not allow the spirit of fear to come into our hearts and to our minds. Because, Father, that's the place where you are. And it's in your presence, Father, that there is joy, that there is light. And so I pray that over each and every one of my brothers and sisters here, over all those that are listening online, and I pray, God, that we would demonstrate this every day wherever we are. Yeah, things can be tough. I'm concerned, but it's not going to take my joy. It is not going to take what I know to be the way that I should live in glory so that people will see what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I get knocked down, I'm going to get back up. Things come and it's difficult, but I'm not going to stay there. And I'm certainly not going to give place to my words that'll be hurting, that'll be ugly, that'll be unkind. Because I serve a risen Savior who I know will be victorious in the end. So God, I thank you for that. I pray now your blessing over each and every person. Go with them. Keep us safe, I pray, in all that we do. And may we give you and you alone all the glory and honor. It's in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I pray these things. Amen. Well, before you go this morning, I want to do one more thing.